Hello, we're on the air. This is another day and another week has gone by. It is Tuesday, April the 12th, 2011. This is Kathy Cook, bridging wisdom, one wisdom spoke at a time. Others know me as Bright Lights Pathfinders, and we are here on Station 1 every Tuesday evening at 5 o'clock Pacific Time. That is 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. As usual, I do not prepare for these shows. I do not prepare for anything that is going to come out of my mouth. I just ask God to center within me and let my words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in His sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. For some reason, I'm being pulled to my favorite Psalms to open up, and that is the 23rd Psalm, which is for me and whoever else needs to apply it to themselves. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down into green pastures. I guess that's where He has me rest and get away from the world and understand that He's just right there with me. He leadeth me in beside the still waters. That's to comfort me and to keep all the ripples out of my life. He restores my soul. He leads me beyond the path of righteousness for His namesake, which is the path that I'm always on, hopefully, always is only God, so I am human. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. I believe that humans are here to conquer fear, and courage is fear that is said, it's prayer. For Thou art with me. God's always with me because He created me out of one image, and that was His soul. And His rod and His staff comforts me. He prepares the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And He anoints my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely for goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, that is something that I just needed to say. I want to explain something. I know a lot of you guys have followed the black and white symbolic spider. Well, that black and white spider came into my house and when the fire happened at my house. And I knew to just leave it alone because it knew its way in. It could get its way out. And I was staying with my daughter at the time. She had had my first grandchild. And a couple of days ago, my daughter was at the back of my house, at the very back door, just sweeping up something. And there was that spider, but it wasn't black and white anymore. It was brown and white. But we knew it was the same spider because it had the same symbols on it. So she said it was dead, and I said, no, it's going to be all right. So I took it outside and laid it down into the grass beside a magnolia bush. And about an hour or two later, I went and got it. I was curious. And I laid a sin train, and I took the mother of pearl earrings out that I was going to wear to my son's wedding. And I laid the spider in the mesh, you know, like the cotton, but it was more fiber so it could feel its feet like a web. And I laid a centrine in there, and I laid some sage and sweetgrass and stuff out of my yard in there. And took a video because that spider bonked right on out into life, man. It was just like doing its thing. And so then I took it outside, and after I took a little video of it, and let it go. Now, you know, the understanding I got from that was Puppy, my dog, was, she kind of talks to me in my heart, and I wrote down a lot of things in the Velveteen Rabbit, and I thought that's what I was to get because I was going towards the bookshelf. And when I did get to the bookshelf, I just let my spirit pull what book it needed. It pulled out Physics, and in that Physics book, I opened up to the sun, and I opened up to this and that. Well, there, lo and behold, was that exact freaking hairy black and white spider. And it said that it was the lowest form that could hear the lowest, deepest underground that any species has. And it can rise above any octave higher than any species. So that was its meaning, like pulling both ends. It was like being a little guide for me, a little angelic guardian or whatever. But, you know, to me, symbols have a lot of meaning everywhere we look, everything we do. And I'm going to open up my journal. Let's see, it's a blue journal. It's dated March the 11th, 2003. And I wrote, in creation, God made two natures, the environmental nature, and the human nature. Human nature has its purpose, is always a choice, but the environmental nature is not. Humans choose to disrupt the natural habitat of the environmental nature by destroying and polluting and trashing the nature's law, killing the rainforest and opening the ozone. While nature serves its purpose solely, intentionally, by its behavior as inbred within its own way, by instincts such as birds and bees and the insects, like the black and white spider, and the birds and bees pollinate, producing more plants, and as it goes to the thunder and the clouds and the bumping together and producing rain, as well as for the nature's water of Mother's Earth. Well, nature's environment can also be destroyed with hurricanes, typhoons, and tornadoes, volcanoes, earthquakes, floods, etc., and the mudslides, big disasters. But when nature calls us, when do we destroy the nature? What is human disaster? What keeps up with the times? Are we outgrowing the town that we live in, the development, the prosperity of it, by commercialism? When is it necessary for the almighty dollar, and when is it not? So the instinct of God's gifts of the inner knowing is the second part of this. It's 3-8-2003. Because within each one of us, God has placed an inborn instinct, an inner knowing of all things. Some people call it a gut feeling. Others call it a hunch. At times, one can make an instinct with an intuition. As I can see this happening with myself, I can only feel that I'm about what is about to come about. And I think of this as to be so, which is totally different from instinct. That's a gut. The inner knowing that is a gentle nudging when you know something's right. When you set your goal towards something and you stand firm, not letting anything stop you in your path. The belief of your inside self, your truth, your positive truth. I want to stop right there because this goes on and on, but I keep seeing the eye. And the eye of the storm, the eye of is the center of the soul. If the eye is the center of the soul, and the eye tells us the window of the soul, what is it that the eye of the center of a storm is? It's calm, right? And all that debris and all that ruckus that's going on outside that storm is all the people, all the places, all the things, all the contraptions of each energy is just infesting inside of each other and outside. Now, I know for a fact that we have to have a positive and negative. We have to have a black wire and a red wire to hook into the positive and negative into a light socket. We have to have the positive and negative of everything to make it balance. The thing that gets hard is when people, places, things, creation tries to outdo the other by look at me, you know, trying to get its focus in on them, that they are there and that they are a part of something. Now, I know in my heart that positive always wins the negative light to balance it in my life. But I have to have that negative in my life to get me up and out of myself and up and out to know that that is a lesson. It's just like what I've told you guys on broadcast many times before. We cannot just be in a glory. We cannot be in a pink bubble all the time. We have to have some hardships and some hard times as the lessons to apply to the wisdom that we have learned from the knowledge of being. The hardships, the hard times make us stronger. If we apply it to a lesson learned, instead of, oh, woe is me, and becoming a victim. Because if we're a victim, we have no cause of help. Victims are a lost cause. So all I'm here to do is, I know for a fact on this walk of life, in this path that I'm on, in this path that I've chosen, as well as God has chosen for me, is that stay in my truth, walk my truth, talk my truth, speak my truth, hear my truth, be my truth, the earth wisdom. And that's what comes around goes around, because if I don't keep my side of the street clean, I'm going to pick up all this junk along the way. And I do realize that people have their own issues and their own reasons for things, but the thing is that does that affect me? Is that really me? Is that what I think? And why would I give power to that person, place, or thing causing turmoil in my, you know, in their own life? Why would I bring that into mine? So when a person speaks to me, and it's in a negative manner, I have to realize and stay centered that that's their stuff, their junk, their life, and who knows what went behind all that stuff that formed that sentence to come at me. So if I can do that, then I know that all will be well in my world. Now, you guys know that I get these little numbers and these little meanings and these little symbolic things, and I don't know what in the world I even say half the time till I'm off the air. But I do know that I'm going to turn into my journal, because that's what I'm told to do. This is October the 1st, 2002. The words spoken out loud to another can never be erased. Words are like that. They're permeable. They're written in stone, like God's Ten Commandments. They own their own. They're their very own. You spoke them, and you own them. There's no taking them back. You've given them birth out when you spoke the thoughts or the words out loud to another. Through the verbs, the nouns, the action verbs, the pronouns, the subjects and adjectives, the prepositional phrases, whatever the subject is, whatever the meaning is. Maybe in just one word, even physically out of sight, a person or person that is listening to your words spoken, hear your voice change with each tone and pitch as one speaks. The emphasis on each certain word, or the tones and pitches in your voice and your pauses, realize that those can't be replaced. They can be spoken to another, but it's just like that game where the teacher tells a soul, whispers in their ear, one little subject, one little sentence, and it goes all the way around the room. By the time it gets back to the teacher, the last student, it is nothing at all like what was spoken the very first word. That's gossip. Gossip is very dangerous, and it kills a human's concept of another human being very quickly. But always remember, and Buck contradicts the sentence before, the truth is always in the eye of the beholder. If you need to know something about someone, look at their clout, look at their credentials, look at who they are, and by all means, realize that each person could be you. Put yourself in the other person's shoes and realize that it's not all about you all the time. It's not all about me all the time. Because once we speak that word out, we can ask forgiveness. But to me, saying I'm sorry is something that is intentional. A lot of times people speak things out, and they do it without meaning because their little wounded self is hurt. So we have to give them the benefit of the doubt. But realize you have to take those words back yourself. You have to pray about it, and you have to forgive yourself for saying those words in your secret garden, because God whispers things in our ears, and God, when he does whisper things in our ears, he tells us to shout it to the mountaintops. There are no secrets, but the secret lies within our heart to hear it first in order to shout it out to the rooftops. Now, people that go around in disguise and hide and take other people's work or try to look to see if I'm doing plagiarism, which I don't really know what that means, but I think it means something like taking other people's words and using them as mine. But yeah, I get watched 24/7 by this internet system and by the active listening audience to see where I get my work. But I know in my heart it comes from God. I don't read other people's books and works and stuff like that because it's not pure channeled vessel of the knowing. If I want something to be said or known, if I look inside myself. But also remember, everything connects to something that connects to something that connects to something. So remember to keep it simple, because symbols and symbolic meaning are everywhere. I did find out since last week what that teapot meant. I thought it was the Tea of China or Boston, but it wasn't. It was, I made an altar because I was so in a place where I could not see things. So I made an altar and allowed my spirit to put up on the altar what it needed for its own meaning, which will come out on a YouTube soon. But I had a police officer come to my house because of the games and the turmoil that was going on in my life. And my daughter had changed one of the lamps that was sitting on my table into a teapot. And then I had unfolded a bunch of stuff after he left as symbolic meanings, and there was that teapot. That teapot was that, you know, I told the police officer, I said, please don't do anything about what I'm telling you, but please hold it as a reporter that I have spoken, that I'm not going to put up with crap anymore. You know, I get things taken in my house and brought back. I get things moved around in my house and brought back. Right now, I don't have any glasses. You know, somebody's played that game. Or, you know, the game where they took all my socks and hose for my son's wedding, and my feet were so swollen I could hardly walk for a week. It's just the little games like that, not only there, but out there in the universal world wide web. Let it go, people. Let it go. Quit following me in my cookies and everything and trying to make havoc with me and other people, because it's just not going to work. You know, if you're going to do it and you're going to do it right, look at the timing of the cookies that are the history of mine. How long was I on a page and how fast did I move back? Because I don't question. I let God rule me. I let God control me. And it's just like I ended that broadcast last week with I think it was the dolphin, and they were beating their tails up against the floor ground of the sandy ocean and capturing all the fish in the center, one dolphin. And then all the other dolphins in the family stood back because the fish that were hooked in the inside of the circle couldn't see, so they jumped up to jump over the smoke of the sand, and they had a feast. Well, I did that with information they'd given me. Or I didn't even really know what I was doing, but I went back and forth and back and forth all over the place in a circle for something that was with the social services, social something or another, whatever. I don't even know. I didn't even know what I was doing. I just got in it and got out of it. Well, lo and behold, did somebody come up to me and say, you did, you know, and started accusing me of stuff. I was like, what are they talking about? And then it hit me. It hit me. The only way somebody could have thought that is through my history of somebody deciding to use that against me and another person when I didn't even know what I was doing, because the timing was so quick. Those cookies couldn't have added up to anything, the cash or the history. What I'm getting at, people, is my side of the street's clean. It's swept clean. I live clean. I live straight. I might tell a little lie here and there, make something a little Scandinavianly more beautiful than it really is, color it a little bit brighter, because I have such passion of the excitement of telling it. But to change and alter things, nope. Because if I do that, I start a whole whirlwind of bullshit. Now realize, what is that? I won't have to live up to all that conglomerate junk if I don't stay in my truth. Stay in your truth and realize everybody's got the right to their own opinion. Everybody's got a right to who they are. But by all means, my God, this world is coming to a chaosly craziness, and we have got to know who we are. We've got to know our center and quit trying to please the Joneses. It's not about the Joneses. Because if you start pleasing the Joneses or the Browns or whoever they are, you're going to keep owing them. You're going to keep having to give them more and more and more, keep focus on you, or else they're going to think you're stupid. So why don't you just stop the game, stop the bull crap, and just be yourself? Because with those words, I'm going to turn the journal. Let's see what God has to say. Here we go. This is page 4. So it's with all existence, the whole picture, standing back in the perspective that only one self can see. No other person can see the existence as something the same as one person, no matter what. And all, you know what's so funny is I look at this journal and every it, the IT, is circled with a different colored ink pen. I believe I said something about the it last week. And my mother called me Ike for the first time in a long time, and that was really neat. So Ike, listen to this. The it is circled. And no matter what it is, there is no comparison to the exact same, each uniquely holding its own. So one sole purpose of life is within its own, understanding what to find between their own selves and God, like standing at the edge of the trees in the forest, seeing all the trees, each tree representing purpose, and a sapling and the tiny rooted purposes. And it goes endless, with miles and miles and miles of that forest land. God's purpose continues on in me, on into eternity. And sometimes to get our boundaries in perspective, we have to stand and look back, stop and take a breath, and look at all the forest. Because it takes this, that, and what have you, 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 and you to make up this forest. But remember to focus on your only one tree, because that's your tree. That's who you are. If I gasp the power of God Almighty and by being reminded that He has a reason with passion for each one of our meanings of purpose in life, and the only thing that I have to do is focus on the one tree at a time, and that is a choice of my free will. Now, I come to the part of asking myself, why did I even say that? I don't know. It doesn't matter to me, because it's something that evidently someone out there needed to hear. And also, it makes it easier for me to realize that I'm at the birth of a new beginning, a birth of a new breath, a birth of a new part in this life, because I'm going to surrender all to myself. I'm going to surrender all to God, because if I take the W in me, the M in me, and I flip it upside down to a W in we, then flip it back upside down into me, then I and God are we. We're one. We're one individual. And so I ask myself, the courses that I'm going on. What course am I going on right now? Well, I just want to say that each speck of particle, I used to, as a kid, like to dissect things to see where they would go, what was inside the nucleus of the matter, what was its DNA, what was its core substance. I realized that even with a jello mold, nothing can be reproduced, nothing could be Xerox, nothing, same for same. Even my own words, even my own things that I say and do, they cannot be reproduced, because the person that reads what I have written so carefully and slow, letting my mind wander where my heart needs to go, is a message that they're going to get in their own perspective of their own self. So to that own self be true is what I've got to look at there. Now, a lot of times that I get dumping, but I have to pull myself back as that of a, like a tortoise, like a turtle. Because if I stay really slow and on my same direction, then I'll get my path straight. But if I'm like that of a rabbit and bounce all over the place, then that exactly will get the message out there, bouncing all over the place. So let's just center ourselves right quick, and let's go within. Let's calm down a minute and just take a couple of deep breaths. Now remember, everybody's message of what they hear out there is for their own self. To their own self be true. Dreams that you get before you wake up, all the way to the dream that you walk while you're awake. But whatever it is for you. The message is for you, just like this message is for me. Everybody's message out there is for themselves. The people that speak out the message to give to another person is something that that person evidently needs to hear within themselves. Because we mirror our own individual self, the eye to the window of the center of the soul. The eye, the all-seeing eye. That eye will not let you down, because it's your eye, it's your soul, and it's your truth. Please, by all means, just be you and let everybody else be them. Individual identities. No one needs to take others' identities. No one needs to be others, because the clothes just won't fit right. And just think of how good you'll feel if you have your own set of understanding and belongings and life within yourself. Now, join hands with each other and make that link strong. Make that love strong. Let it be pure. If somebody has a reason to break up with you or put you down or whatever, remember it's not personal. Because if you know in your heart and in your eye, it's the center of your soul, that you have yourself clean swept, then that's all that matters. People will tend to keep me off of Facebook. They'll tend to keep me off of places. They'll try to control my computer. If I allow that to itchy up my unis, the itchy unis part of me, then that would be allowing that whatever to have power over me. What do? I'll just go draw, or I'll just go, you know, do something else. But it's wrong, because we have to answer to all the things that we do when we pass. We don't just poof out there. This is not a dress rehearsal. This is a fact. Period. Period. I'm going to open the journal. Let's see when it starts. This is November the 14th, 2002. The start of our million-mile journey. Wow. Life from the ground up. We start our own journey in life when we take our first crawl. Later, becoming unafraid, we accomplish our first steps, and then from there, our journey into the life starts its new beginnings. First, we must face the fear of the unknown. As in each stage of getting to the process of our first steps, holding on and holding our heads as to see the new world, and using our arms to push our bodies higher to see even more, learning to turn over with surprise, we sit up and balance as a baby, kicking and wiggling our little bodies in the movement that creeps on later crawling across the journey and some that's confined. But when we start to balance and to stand and hold on to something steadily, we learn to plant our feet deeply and ground ourselves. Our bodies may wobble, but we will accomplish that balance. And then, with all the love and trust and faith that our caretakers have for us inside, we take that leap towards walking, and we take that first step. And they're there to receive us. They're ready. That's God. So if you think about this, at the wedding, my uncle was sitting way down at the steps, and I was at the top. And I went, "Catch me, Uncle Wayne. I trust you." Well, this is answering me right here. I didn't really jump, but my kids and everybody sure did come out there to see if I was going to jump down that hole. But anyway, the beginning is the 1,000,000,000-mile run. You know, that's our first beginning. Faith and trust and believing in the one that loves us. The one that loves us is going to catch us if we fall, and that's God. Now, once we first, you know, we'll first fall down and we'll get back up until we learn what our heart's desire is really saying. But the thing that this whole thing is telling me is the ego gets bruised and cries when we first fall, right? Right? So what do? We get up and do it again. The fear of letting go is the first hardest part that I learned as a child trying to take those first steps. The fear of letting go and reaching out towards something, knowing that if I fail, I could get back up and catching my balance again. Because if someone knocks me down, if someone knocks my work down, just remember I can get back up. Because I've been knocked down so many times, it just makes me that much easier to get back up on that horse and get going. We need to realize that the faithful, loving arms that we have out there, you can't see the mystery, you can't see it, but just know that God loves us so much. He doesn't want anything to happen to us. But the greed, just like I repeated last week, I'm going to repeat from last week's show, the Pandora's box being down there in the depths of the ocean, you know, greed, trying to dig somewhere that was the root, the bed of the earth core. And it split all the way down into look what happened to Japan and everywhere else, because it's friggin' messed up the moon, and the moon doesn't know where to follow the ocean tides, and the sun can't. The sun's always is the pure light, right? I'm repeating myself from last week. The sun is the purest light. The rest is shadows and fake. And when the sun is on our side, then we can see. There's a hole in the ozone layer. We've burned a hole from tearing down the trees and building things and polluting it with the manufactured processes and all these man-made things. And there is a solution. I've come to a solution with some how to get this iron ore type of liquidized stuff down into the bed of the sea, and it can cover up the crack that's in the earth's core. But, you know, it takes a lot of people to work this together. I just get these foreign words and numbers and I Google them, and then that's the answer. I don't look at how I got them. I just believe and know and trust in God Almighty inside me, that He's got a message for somebody out there. He's got something that He wants somebody to have, and I am freely giving it to that person. Whoever knows anything about mechanics or whatever, it's on the TNT News Trader, and I think it's called Three Doors Down. It's down in there somewhere, but it's last week's post on VBS. You go to the left side, and you go down to the TNT News Trader and their blog, and it's all down in there. It starts with a Z, and it even gives the God even gave the answer of what kind of machine or what kind of poles to use to get that iron ore down in there to seal up the Earth's core, and also using mirrors and all kinds of wonderful things. But there's an answer down in there for whoever's going to find it. I don't know. You know, we're all so busy putting out fake YouTubes and fake this and that, and then they finally come along a great one to where sometimes people just don't quite know what to think at times. Well, let me just say, with me, I get out there and I put things, I don't ask, I just put it out there, and if somebody wonders if it's not in layman terms for them, then it wasn't meant for them. It wasn't. But the silly cartoony YouTubes and stuff that's coming out, you know, to give a message, that's great that you got that kind of talent to make those things, but what is the message that you're wanting to prevail? To be taken seriously or to be taken slap haphazardly? So all I know is that everybody has their own path to walk and their own talk. And if you want to get a clear, phenomenal message out there to the universe, to whoever that needs that information, remember, you can start fresh. Look, turn the page. This is a clean piece of paper, even though it's not, but it's clean. Start writing a brand new script, and to heck with what other people think of you. Are they going to die when you die? Are they going to take your place? My gosh, we got one life, one time, and let's get out there and everybody meet on the other side. This thing's so deep, but it's really not. It's as simple as we make it. The challenge is all in the emotions that crumble all up and down. You know, how are we going to handle our own emotions? It says right here on one of my journals I turned to the clean slate paper, November the 4th, 2002. It says, be who you are with respect, because you have the right to your own opinion, the right to be exactly who and what you are, the right to become all that you set yourself out to be. Claim this is right and believe in this that is your right and your law of life, the truest nature of your own being, God's intentions of each of His creations being unique and standing alone within one's own truth. In the claiming that right, the respecting this law of truth about yourself, others will also have to accept these as the truth as you go on. So here's the remembrance. There's a shield. We build a shield around the law of our own truth of our life. No one can try to control or persuade you by dominating your life with any situations. You won't have to run from a challenge or a crumble of emotions. And in return, others around you will see your reflection by the mirror image that you yourself present and will become the same. In time and in hope, all these reflections will be chain reactions that will be passed around in each life that I touch, and those that are touched, and then touching others as well. God's sole intention for our uniqueness, our law of the truest self, be right with who we are and what we are, our value of our own self, and others' opinions and acceptance of ourselves, the ownership of all what we mean and do, and we set our minds out to do in the truest, rawest form, as each of us continuously strive to be the best our lives can be with respect. Because if we respect ourselves, others will respect us so. So with this given, and by others in the truest form of love. And then I write this. okay? Borrowing. You can borrow possessions all you want, which is people's work or whatever. You know, you can borrow whatever you want for whatever purpose that's intended at that particular time. But you can't borrow time. Time is spent. Just thinking back is spent. You only use time as it is precise in the essential essence of quality and very, very clearly stated in advice. Because when time is all said, as I say, time is wise as it is given, because it will never be that precise given time again. If we pass quickly as it arrives, faster than you can even blink. But what did you do with the collections of time? That's up to you. How you choose to pass it. How you choose to leave your mark with your generations to come. How you choose to be with yourself in the time that you spent here on this earth walk to get to that other side. Because we cannot borrow any of it. Time is not something we can borrow. It is given to us at the precise inkling, and that's what we make of it. The person would not have given it to you if it was of use of him only. So, with your time, you can share together thoughts and ideas and situations to one another, wanting to involve them with things. But it's up to the person and their ideas and solutions to use it of their own. But without permission and taking ownership, like stealing others' work and credit, when credit should be placed where credit is due, be careful in what you borrow from others, because that is always, with the uttermost respect, a prize you hold in a possession. It is what is borrowed of value to them. Did you trust them with it? Did they earn it? In order to keep that trust, the possession is borrowed and must be returned. So what I'm getting at this is people start doing things to other, you know, thinking it's cute and all that, you know, like hacking or whatever you want to call it, or stalking or whatever. But then those people that have helped them along the way, now they're caught in that web, and they are, all, you know, that head person owns them because they don't want that happening to them. Well, you can break that chain. Just get out of it. If they start hassling you with it, then so what? What you going to lose? A little computer? You going to lose a little mouse? What about the big cat that lives inside of you? Each person that you are. Be who you are and quit trying to be like the Joneses. Remember, we're individuals. And if I jump off that cliff, is everybody else going to jump off that cliff with me because I said I can walk on the air? No. You've got to know it in your gut. You got to know your own self. To thine own self be true. It isn't about popularity. Heavens. I do without anybody in my life except for a few here and there because I don't want the junk. I don't want the drama. I don't want the crap. I am out to set one purpose, and I maybe am unique. I am unique. Each is unique because you are you and I'm me. We're each uniquely packaged spiritually. But the thing I'm getting at is I've got 3 children. I've got a granddaughter. But I cannot choose for them how they're going to feel and act and behave. My daughter can come over here and wreak havoc, but I don't have to own it. I don't have to let it change my attitude, because that maybe is her stuff, and who knows what happened the day before or whatever to cause her to act like that. But the thing is, let it go. Think of the Chinese handcuffs. The more you pull and pull, the tighter they get. Just like with the dead man's sled, I'm going to use that again. If we let go and let it be, then we'll float, just like the dead man's float. We'll stay afloat, like a boat. But if we fight the current, it's going to pull us right down under. So let go of the chaos of who said, she said, what said, they said, where'd you get this, where'd you get that. Realize it just doesn't matter. Fill your thoughts and your heart up with something that's going to cohere to the next generations that you have to come, if we have that chance. Because this is a turning point of our life. The world is in chaos. Quit bumping into each other like bumping cars into a wall. And look at yourself, because you're the driver. You're the passenger. Let God do the driving. And with that, It's in our temperaments, because we're all made up of different temperaments. You know, you're going to have a bad day. You're going to have somebody push your button easy wrong or whatever. And a lot of times it's because maybe you don't feel that you got enough attention from somebody. So you kind of whine out or act out or But it's not your problem how others act and behave. How I act and behave is mine. Now, I can act up and act out, and I can wreak havoc all over the world. But the thing is if those people that it wreaked havoc towards are not centered in their own self and realize it is not their actions that are causing the reactions, it is their reactions of how that action happened. It's all so simple. We make it hard. We make it hard ourselves. To thy own self be true. Right? Right? What else is there? You know, I know, and I'm going to put it out there. I am followed from the nth degree and back, and that's a good thing. But if I allow myself to see all that following of what, you know, because there's all different types of followings that I've got. I've got, let me see if she's plagiarism. Let me see if she's hurting somebody. Let me see if she's the one that calls this or that. Let me see what she says so I can use it for mine. Let me, you know, but that's not with just me. That's with everybody in the universe. You get it? I'm not unique, but with my own self. Each is packaged uniquely spiritually. You know, it's just like that movie, what is it called? My Captain, My Captain. The Dead Poets Society. Love that movie. Because he gets those guys to stand up on a table to look at a different perspective. It looks different up there than standing on the ground at what they're looking at. You know, it's all in the passion. Passion is what somebody is doing at the precise given moment in time. I don't give a rat's butt what you say. If you are eating, that's your passion for that moment. If you're speaking, that's your passion for the moment. If you're watching TV, that's your passion for the moment. To chill out and then zone out. I myself don't turn the TV on. I've got one, but I don't really turn it on because to me, it is somebody else's story and somebody else's thing. I am here for one purpose only. I have dedicated myself to the highest self, to the own self be true, which is God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ Almighty, because I'm not going to falter. Period. End of sentence. That man died for me so that I could realize that there was hope out there. And he loved me so much that he died for me and resurrected on the third day, which we're coming up on Easter. And he gave us the gift of the Comforter. The Comforter is the Holy Spirit. All this other channeling, if you channel other people that are dead and past, they are no better than you are because they are human. But God Almighty, the Holy Spirit, is holy. That's the channel that I choose. I can hear and feel what other people say from the past because their spirits are alive. You know, when we die, our spirits, I believe, live on. You know, and we can pick up things that other people, like a mind reader or telepathy, whatever, say Jane wants to know if her Uncle Ben is here. You know, whatever she starts feeling, if I connect into her energy field, I can pick up about Uncle Ben. You know, but does that make me any greater because I'm being a medium? No. No. What it is this getting that karma stuff all up in my gunk. You know, if there's a message out there, I will give it, especially. But in a deep root reading, we go to the core of the person. We go to the root of that split soul. What happened to them? Why they need to be healed? Because it's the life they've led, the things that have gone on in their life that have caused certain situations to not be kosher with another situation. It's all in the way we speak. I'm going to give you an example. If I ask you, you or you or you, if I said, can you take out the trash? What would you get me? But of course I can. You think I'm an invalid? But what if I said, would you take out the trash? Wouldn't you be more apt to take out the trash because I asked you if you would instead of can you? There's a simple little sentence right there. How we ask or how we speak to another person, the communication. Nobody can cause anybody to feel anything unless they choose it. And nobody can cause anybody to act a certain way unless it's torture, pain, or whatever. But that is not meaning anything except for stay inside, stay centered, stay focused. And remember, keep your side of the street clean. Stay out of that sewage. This is a nasty, foul place down in there. It's a lot of negativity. And all these people, if you want to live, do you want to take... You got to stand right there, right now. Look at yourself. Decide. Do you want this world to live? It's a choice. But it's going to take all of us together to combine to have this definite choice of, yes, I want to heal this world. I want to heal myself. I want to heal my family. I want to heal. I want to respect. That's the bottom line, respect. If you respect yourself and you speak to thine own self, be true out there. And quit all this bullcrap boinking games that started back in the Yahoo days, that started the festive pool of bots and boinkins and whatever you want to call it, hackings or whatever, falling, cookie, blah, whatever. Get over it. It's not what it's about. Put your light work message out there. Because what it is, it said in the end days in Revelations, that it would be a spiritual warfare. Well, all of us gifted people out here, our energy's going out there. It's a spiritual freaking warfare. Think about it. But what is spiritual warfare? It's our insides not being content and lashing out to different places and things and not being consistent. I'm so consistent, I can follow myself with knowing for a fact that when I go to bed at night, if I want an answer to something, I know that it's not an illusion. Dreaming is not an illusion to me because I can say, I would like to know the answer to such and such. And as soon as I wake up, right in that inkling of the moment when I wake up in the morning, there's that answer. And you tell me, how is that an illusion? Yes, our brain farts a lot while we're sleeping and picks up things all along the way. But our subconscious mind is there to please us. It's a pleaser. It is there for one purpose, and it will make us stand on our heads if it can get us to look at the answer. But the answers are simple. We make it hard. It's not all about popularity. It's about balance. It's about balancing the opposite poles that are shifted off, that the moon is just wreaking havoc over trying to follow the core of the earth, which the sun is trying to keep in balance. Of the evolution and going around the moon to be able to balance. And it's about that X, which is in the planet X, which is the Macintosh, which is the computer system, the new beginning of the planet X. Keep it clean. Keep it simple. And let's do this right. You got another chance. Let's turn that page and do it right. Let's see what this page turned to. I love it when I do that. It says, do you ever wonder why your spirit's personalities change, altered by the bondage of slowly seeping and bleeding in past pain, causing not by another, but allowing yourself and your heart to be self-absorbed as a dart piercing your heart, brought poisons aboard and it festered and infected inside the parts of your own being, the destruction and the alterations. Now are the shadow feelings of negativity from a question asked. How can we stop obsessing on all this bad? Try to look at the goodness, learn from it, gain from what has been happened, what has happened, and remember the fondness of it. And by that, apply it to something you don't want to be like anymore and you want to change by what has been left behind as that of a child of love, and the laughter and the music and the lessons and the tears that's like rain. Because without unforgiveness, our spirit's heart cannot continue. We have to forgive ourselves first. And I just ask right now to forgive myself wide openly right now for not caring enough about myself, not getting to the doctor because of the fear that I had from what other doctors had done to my body and myself. And I ask myself to forgive me for that. And I do forgive me for that. Now I'm going to go and I'm going to ask my family, friends, and people to forgive me for not being healthy enough to be there for them and to not be able to help when I needed, I could help if I had been healthier. And now I'm going to go to God because my vessel's clean down here. And I'll say, God, forgive me for not taking good care of myself, this vessel, this tent you gave me to wear. Forgive me for not sharing with the right channels of what I needed to wear because I only have this one body and you are my temple in my heart. You're the garden in my heart. And as long as I keep my heart clean and clear, then I'm going to be okay. And everything else is going to fall into place. Now, I'm going to leave in 5 minutes. So I just want to thank every one of you guys for being out there. And I want you to think of why we put our hand over our heart on the freedom of America. What is the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which we stand, one nation under God, individual, with liberty and justice for all. We are freedom. We have freedom of speech. We have all these things. Somebody's trying to take it away from us. Listen, I know this is hard, but coming from somebody that's been there with the brutal beating and rapes that I've gone through, the more you fight it, the worse it gets. Let it lay down. Let's lay everything down right now. Let's let the dust settle from where the dolphins have pounced all the way around in a circle to get their feast. Let's let it settle. Let's respect all people, places, and things. Let's respect ourselves. And let's just turn it and make it a clean sheet. With that, Don, Doug, Seth, BBS Radio, Station 1. This is Bridging Wisdom, Kathy Cook, Bright Lights Pathfinders. On to the next show. See you out there, everyone. I love you. Bye-bye.